I'm glad that I'll be probably dead for 50 years by the time that's mainstream.
It's Thursday, February 18th, 2021. Episode 040, if you're keeping count. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, is my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
Doing pretty good, man.
Good to hear.
Yeah. Looking forward to the weekend.
Always.
Looking forward to the weekend. Yeah, always, yeah. But so, yeah, it's been another week. I don't know if a lot of explosive stuff has happened this week, but we've got some interesting things to discuss.
Oh, between the two of us, I think it'd be impossible for us not to not have anything interesting to talk about on the show. I like it.
Very good. Before we move on, though, the question of the day is, of course...
Motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
What'd the bartender bring you, Joe?
The bartender brought me it's like a Bahamian Irish, Bailey's Irish Cream, best way to describe it.
What? That sounds good.
Yeah. And, I'm over here enjoying life, and life is good.
Very good. I would expect no less from the great Joe High, though.
Great Joe High.
That's just kind of like his thing.
Keep it classy.
Keep it, yeah. Always winning, right?
You're far too kind. What about yourself?
Oh, I'm, sadly, my house is dry.
Dry? What's that like? A year of
time? Yeah, the thing is they don't deliver alcohol here yet. So
now,
and I haven't went out, and I haven't felt the least bit inclined to even go out in this mess to go get anything. So I'm just chilling with a diet soda.
You're a better person than I, because I would have found the gumption to deal with that.
I gotta say, I'm surprised, man. I'm surprised ever since I even started eating, cutting out all the bad stuff. I'm surprised that even I figured that my love of beer would have knocked me off the wagon by now, but not even the beer has got me yet, man. This is
you don't even.
I'm hoping I've like crossed that threshold where this just kind of becomes a
lifestyle,
a lifestyle instead of a diet so much.
So you don't even drink beer during the weekend?
No, I haven't had a beer since last year.
Okay, well, I almost forgot that it's February, but that's still a huge deal. I mean,
yeah, that's a long time for me, man.
It was a long time, yeah.
I've had tequila, and I've had vodka, but I've not had any beer since. Been a long time.
Well, hey, I mean, we did talk about earlier how you'll get on the wagon and life is good, but inevitably you fall off. But you haven't thus far, and we're both grateful for that.
Yeah, and I don't plan on never drinking beer again. I figure when I'm gonna stay on this until I'm happy. But I'm not gonna deprive myself forever. I plan on whenever I take a vacation here in a few months, I'm not going to go out of my way to be horrible either, but if I want a good beer, I'm gonna have one. But we'll see how it goes.
Well, hey, still, congratulations, man. I'm sure there were haters out there who were you know, who weren't on Team Brian, but you showed them, so that's what matters.
I'm saying I can't believe I'm ashamed. Shame on them if there's those people out there.
Yeah,
I'm a hell of a guy, man. You should never want to root against me.
Hell of a guy. So what's on tap today?
Well, first we got a Floyd and Arbery update, but just a quick rundown to give people a preview. We're going to talk about Rush Limbaugh's passing, Cuomo's quandary in New York. I've got a Biden thinks you're dumb clip that I think we'll listen to, and one of my favorites that people, I don't know if people are catching on yet or not, but it's the UN pushing their everybody eat bugs agenda. So
I am so glad that we're likely to be dead by the time that actually comes to fruition.
Amen. This is a UN thing, so let the UN eat bugs. Yeah. But I'm gonna eat my real steaks and all that jazz for as long as I can. Anyway,
I had a steak for dinner tonight. It was great.
You cooked the steak once over at my place when I was downtown. It was pretty damn good.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like me. All right.
So couple of, we got an update for George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, sort of. George Floyd, the legal teams representing three of the four former Minneapolis police officers charged in George Floyd's death, filed a series of motions this week seeking to have the cases dismissed, accusing prosecutors of leaking information about plea deal negotiations to the press. It's obvious. The three other people are trying their damnedest to distance themselves from Chauvin, and I would be the same. Yeah. I'd do the same.
Yeah, it'd be like, who could blame them?
Right. Yeah. Like you said, when we was discussing this a little bit earlier, it's the lawyer's job to do things like this. They probably never held out any hope that it would go anywhere, but you got to throw it against the wall and see what sticks, right?
Exactly. I mean, you'd hate to be the guy like, yeah, I'm going to be spending the next 15 years in jail just because you didn't want to file make that fine that could have gotten me off. Yeah, they just gotta literally throw everything, you know, including the kitchen sink, and hope that something sticks. But it likely won't, and these guys will probably be in jail, which is probably the best place for them.
Yep.
Do you think that should matter?
Leaking information?
No, whether or not the guy was going to plead out.
Well, I understand about things that might taint the jury, but let's be realistic here. Can they really find anyone who is truly impartial or have not heard about this or anything like that? I remember back during the OJ trial, that was a big thing. It was a big argument trying to find people who had never heard of what had happened, because it was broadcast. You know, the whole Bronco chase was broadcast live and then reshown repeatedly all over TV. So.
You would have thought that was a lunar landing. The way they like stopped TV shows and
Yeah, that was crazy. But you know, we have examples. We have precedent where something is so popular or so famous or infamous that everyone's heard of it. So I don't think.
Well, I mean,
I don't think you're going to be able to taint a jury more than what they're already.
I don't know. Like, Minnesota's a vast and beautiful state. There might be some people out in the woods, like, in Minnesota, you got the woods, but you got those cold, just ice forests. So there might be some people who've never heard of it, but yeah, good luck in getting them to come out to civilization to,
They're not going to be in the jury pool.
Yeah, no. These guys have been off the grid for like 10 years or 10 years ago. So
it's funny. Shall we move on?
Move.
Ahmaud Arbery update. This isn't really news per se, not related directly to this case, but I got this off a website called Runner's World. Headline, almost a year ago, Ahmaud Arbery was killed while out on a run. Let's hashtag finish the run. So it says, on February 23rd, 2020, Ahmaud Arbery was shot and killed while out running in Brunswick, Georgia. Because Arbery was never able to finish that run, his family wants the running community, locally and globally, to help him finish it a year after his slaying. Arbery's family, along with the 223 Foundation, a nonprofit formed in Arbery's memory, committed to fighting systemic injustices, will host a virtual run called hashtag Finish the Run. Participants can run, walk, or ride 2.23 miles anytime from February 23rd to March 3rd to keep Arbery's memory alive. Additionally, participants should share their runs on social media using the hashtags Finish the Run and hashtag 223FDN. Race registration costs $23. Proceeds will go directly to a 223 Foundation scholarship fund that provides young men and women the opportunity to become future lawyers, local leaders, policymakers, social engineers, and other social justice-based career paths. And you can sign up for the event here. And there was a banner for the sign up. So, I don't know, man. I'm always kind of, I roll my eyes at like virtual when they try to recreate real world things virtually.
Yeah.
But the sentiment behind all this is fine. And
to me, there's no substitute for reality.
Yeah, like at work, they really try to, they're trying their best to keep things engaged. But it was like during the holidays, there's like things like a virtual dance party and stuff like this. And
that just sounds lame.
Yeah,
you're dancing in front of your screen by yourself.
I don't do it, man. I didn't do it, but and then I don't know what else can you do, I guess, but I just kind of these trying to recreate real world things virtually is just odd.
Wait till this whole COVID thing passes, and because it's just not the same,
Nope. Yeah, we're trying to have a right now. We're in the middle of trying to set up a board game Olympics virtually.
you guys should set up a video game Olympics because people already play video games virtually, and so it wouldn't be that huge of a leap.
Well, yeah, we've run into obstacles. I mean, this isn't the time to hash that out, but yeah, we've run into different obstacles, but that's beside the point.
Right.
Yeah, let's get back to, let's get things back opened up and start doing these things in real again. When I read over the agenda, I left one thing off, and we're going to. Well, do you want to start with the race?
Sure.
Let's start with that. Let's start with that. I left that off the agenda, but we have the story here.
All right. I'll read the headline.
I'll let you take this one, Joe.
All right. Transgender sprinters finish first and second at Connecticut Girls Indoor Track Championships. Yeah, is that a surprise or no?
You know, when biological males compete against biological females, I'm sorry, but these are the kind of results you're going to get.
Brian, I just feel that you are one of those people that we'll call the fossil people who think that that women come out only in one flavor, which is biological. Like in 2021, they come in at least two, biological and non-biological. You need to get with that, man. And Raya Yearwood hears the comments usually from adults, not usually to her face. She shouldn't be running, they say, not against girls. 17-year-old junior at Cromwell High School is one of the two transgender high school sprinters in Connecticut transitioning to female. Wait a minute. Don't you need to, like, have permission from your parents to transition?
You know, that's a good question. I'm almost going to guess that the parents are
on board,
100% supportive of this. I don't know, but I don't know. There's a lot of things that kids can.
I remember one of the very first things I knew about Hillary Clinton is that she supported some kid divorcing their parents or something like that. I remember that, like, when I was a kid, that was, like, a huge thing.
I seem to remember something like that. I didn't know anything about Hillary being involved, but
yeah.
I do remember hearing, you know, hear things like that. Didn't that daughter of the Trump advisor woman,
Conway,
yeah, didn't her daughter try to say she wanted to divorce her parents?
That I would not know. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't blame her. I wouldn't want to live in that fucking house. Excuse my language.
Oh, no, it's funny because, like, I thought to myself, I'm not very sure about, you know, Conway doesn't seem like the nicest person to me.
And plus, just do you think she bickers with her husband like they bicker on Twitter? I mean, good Lord. Because he's like, her husband is like this huge anti-Trumper, so.
And then there was a
couple. I just can't imagine what it would be like to be in that household.
They probably didn't have like a no politics rule at home.
I'd hope. It's hard to say. Hard to say.
But
you know, these things are going. You know, these. I was thinking about this.
Yeah,
not this specific story. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me read a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, let's see here. 17-year-old junior. Oh, I already read this. She recently finished second in the 55-meter dash at the state Open Indoor Track Championships. The winner, Terry Miller of Bloomfield High, is also transgender and a set of girls and set the girls' indoor record of 6.95 seconds. Yearwood finished in 7.01 seconds, and the third place competitor, who's not even transgender, finished in 7.23 seconds. So, like, oh my goodness, they just smoke these chicks. Miller and Yearwood also topped the 100-meter state championship last year, and Miller won the 300 this season. Critics say their gender identity amounts to an unfair advantage, expressing familiar argument in a complex debate for transgender athletes. As they break records across sports around the world from high school to the pros, They're only breaking. They're not breaking. Okay.
Breaking barriers, it says here.
Oh, barriers. Oh, you're right.
I think records are falling as well, but.
I've learned a lot about myself and a lot about other people through this transition. I always try to focus on most of all on the positive encouragement that I receive from my family, friends, and supporters. Here, what said, I use the negativity to fuel myself and run faster. There's a lot of negativity out there because she's pretty fast.
Yeah,
but part of me says, like, you know. Yeah, being transgender, you probably have to learn how to run fast because there's probably a lot of people that you, that sounds terrible, but I'm sure I'm not lying.
Oh, I don't know. You think that transgender people are regularly getting beat up and stuff?
No, because they're fast. Yeah, I mean you can't beat on what you can't catch, can you?
Well, they're gonna have to leave the high heels at home.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a matter of survival at that point. Yeah, I guess the story jumped out at me because a few weeks ago we read the read an article about what was it about?
Well, I think it started I brought up, I was reading down through Joe Biden's executive orders, and one of them wasn't directly about this, but it was about making it illegal or whatever to hold someone being trans, not hiring someone because they're transgender or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I theorized then that that this was just going to eventually have, you know, unintended consequences, and I don't know that this wasn't a result of that, but I don't know, man. It's just this kind of stuff is this kind of stuff that's going to keep happening. You know, it was the what restroom can you use argument a few years ago, and then this has been happening. Usually, it's in like I think wrestling was a sport that. This story first kind of appeared in.
They have girls wrestling?
Well,
I mean, if they do that, that's news to me. I mean, that's, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't wrestling. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but I don't know. Well, these things are going to keep on happening, so we're just going to have to make a decision that either you're going to let it happen or you're not.
Well, what are
I mean, is this? Are these two? Are these are high school kids? So, are they going to? Are they ultimately going to take away two scholarships from the other kids? Maybe I don't. You know,
that's a great question. Because that's the very first time we started. You know, typically in America, things can, like, you know, peter along until money's involved, and when money's involved, that's when, you know, that's when people get serious. We'll be able to test the commitment to, there are a lot of women who are like, oh my goodness, like, you know, transgender girls are just like the rest of our girls too. But let's see if they're still girls when they're competing for your scholarships.
Yeah, well said. I'm sure we'll come across more stories like this.
Did you call this a horror story?
What's that?
So did you call this a horror story, or did you say more?
Oh, no. I said we'll come across more. More.
Oh, you said we'll be coming across horror stories like this.
No. More.
I mean, this is going to sound awful. And so that's usually a precursor for, you know, maybe you can say this, Joe. But you know what? Okay. Let's say, you know what? I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right, man.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
It's okay. It's quite, no, you know, no, we shouldn't do that. I'm just imagining. So, like, you know, back in the old days, you could be watching the girls' track team and be, oh yeah, like look at all the girls in their nice little skimpy outfits and look at them run. But now they might be men.
Well, I that's that makes pops into my head. You know, I really, and this makes sense. I'll bet you we need to, when this hits beach volleyball.
Yeah. I mean, like,
because that's going to suck then.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, this is once again sounds terrible. Like, I can almost care less about how fast a woman run. Yeah, it's watching women. I mean, but now these dudes are just going to screw it up. Ugh, I hate that.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry. This is old man Joe talking, and yeah.
Think about this the rest of the show, and then let me know if you want me to just cut all this out.
I don't know. I mean, okay, yeah, admitting to perving on. No. Let's maybe we should cut this section. What's next on the? What's next, man?
Well, Rush Limbaugh passed away. Everyone expected this. Lung cancer is deadly, just a stone cold killer, man. Yeah. There's various. I know that there's a lot of people out there that are happy. As distasteful as that might be, I don't know. But there's a lot of people out there who consider this a bad, it was a bad thing. I'm among one of them. I wish I would have listened to him more these past couple of years. Because now he's gone, and I guess I just kind of like knowing that from 12 to 3 he was on the air and I could tune in if I wanted, and not anymore.
Who's going to take his place? Who's going to snatch his place?
I don't think anyone can take his place. I think he was. I mean, people. If there's an example of, and this is just my opinion, of course, but people like to talk about the greatest of all times. Like, is Michael Jordan the greatest of all time, or is LeBron James the greatest of all time when it comes to basketball, or is Tom Brady the greatest of all time when it comes to quarterbacks?
Yes, he is.
He probably is. But I just don't think without a doubt, Rush was so many levels above everyone else that even the best of the rest didn't come close to Rush. I don't know. Maybe I heard that Howard Stern was, but I wasn't a regular listener of Howard Stern, so I don't know.
Is Howard Stern still in the air?
I think he's on. I think he went to
Sirius Satellite or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's exclusively on Sirius Satellite now.
Hmm. That's kind of terrible.
So that's my opinion, but I want to say something about Rush, and this is just personal to me, but I credit him with, of course, without a crystal ball, there's no way to know how things, there's no way to know how things would turn out if things were different. But I credit him with, at least partially, with me being where I'm at today.
In terms of?
Whatever degree of success I've achieved, I credit him with at least providing me the impetus to do it, because I discovered him after my wreck. I had a lot of obviously a lot of downtime, a lot of just laying in bed and watching TV, and while I was watching the OJ trial throughout the day, I discovered he had a couple of years, I think he had a television show.
I used to watch that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and it was on real, real late at night, like at 1.
Yeah, like 11, I think it was like 11:30 at night when it was on in St. Louis. Like, you know, it's like, you know, if you wanted to put a show where no one would see it, I mean, you would see that show right before the Infomercials came on.
Yeah. And it was only, I think it was like a half an hour show, but it was funny. I mean, it was just a fun, and I wasn't super political then, but, and it was just funny. He'd play clips of Democrats saying dumb things and then make fun of it. And it was just a fun show. And then when I didn't know anything about a radio show. And then when I found out he had a radio show, and then so that's when I started listening. And one of the tenets of Rush's show was always, he always was a big advocate for, I wish I could remember, I should have looked it up. I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but rugged individualism and, you know, doing things for yourself and not relying on the government for things and stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, man, after my wreck, there was a lot of pressure on me to take Social Security and just live that life, you know, get just because, and there's, you know, there's tons of rules. If you take the government's money, you're not allowed to make money anywhere else. They give you enough to get by, and that's, you know, and that's the trade-off for not having to work for the money, I guess, for me anyway. And I had a lot of pressure. I had, there was a lot of mail from the government trying to push me onto doing it. My dad wanted me, that my dad would thought I was crazy for not wanting to do it. You know, it's free, and it's not because, he just seen his son who was, you know, fucked up like I was at that time, and just wanted, you know, he just wanted the best for me. That's where he was coming from. But even he wanted, he was pushing me to just take it. But I don't know. There was a show. Rush had a show once. One of his shows that it was dedicated to people who considered themselves to being late at the end of their careers, who got laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only those kinds of people were able to call in. And the whole show was their stories of basically starting over, but doing what they wanted to do. And it was like a super inspirational show. And I remember that just really stuck with me. And then just plus hearing them, you know, just constantly, you know, talking about it, it really was a big impetus behind me deciding to, because there was a fork in the road. I could have went that one way. And
I know you, you know, the guy freshly dead, and but I just don't see you being the guy be like, yeah, I'm just gonna sit here and collect Social Security and disability. I just don't see that in your makeup, man. And so, although, you know, the show may have been inspiring, there's no doubt about that. I don't think had you not seen that show, had you watched, you know, Phil Donahue that day, you'd be, you know, eating bonbons and on welfare. I just don't see that.
Well, it wasn't that one particular show. It was just the overall theme of the rugged individualism and just my, you know, and you know how I feel about the government now. And I'm no doubt that it originated from those sentiments. But like I said, there's no way of knowing. And it wasn't just Rush. It was my friends. It was my number one, first and foremost, it was my family. And then my friends. And I didn't see, you know, he wasn't the sole reason, but I give him partial credit.
I think any amount of credit would be too much, but I really can't speak to that because you're in your own head. I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad he was that for you, but I'm not as charitable on Rush Limbaugh. My understanding is his career, as it was spent. He's a I mean, you love him, but I think he probably did more to, you know, promote division in the country than probably anyone else.
Well, it doesn't surprise me to hear that, because that's basically the headlines that I've seen all over.
Oh, but you can see, regardless, even if I'd never seen a headline, I've also seen a show. So, I mean,
I don't.
Yeah. So you were saying
I don't want to. This isn't supposed to be an argument or anything, but can anyone give me concrete examples of all this division that he sowed?
Well, wasn't he one of the proponents of the birtherism? It was him, Trump, and it was basically him and Trump going out saying how Barack Obama, and you know, I'm not even a huge fan of Barack Obama, was not an American and was a foreigner, X, Y, and Z.
I thought the birtherism started with Hillary.
It was one of those things where, even if it did, he picked up the ball and ran with that as well. And so even if she started it, shame on her, but shame on Rush and shame on Mr. Trump as well for it. You should not be peddling out and out lies and falsehoods.
Again, I would like to hear, because it's easy. And there's no way of doing this, I know, but I would like to hear actual proof of it. Because a lot of times people misinterpret, or again, we're not here. It's over. He's gone. It's over. I know half the country's cheering, half the country.
I know, but you can't expect that. You know, you're just going to come on the show, say all these great, loving, glowing things about him, and act as if there's not that other side that's out there.
Well, what I was saying was personal to me. Yeah. I understand those are my views. I know that it's not your views, and I know it's not a lot of other
people. And I just offer my view that, you know, I didn't ask you to be like, prove that he was inspiring. I just took you at your word that he was inspiring to you.
Understood. Well, that's all I have to say about Rush. RIP. Or if you're some of those haters on Twitter, it's rest in piss.
Ooh.
Hashtag rest in piss.
Now, let's see here. I think Rush Limbaugh, you know, I think to my mind, if you had to, if we're going to be very simple, good guy versus bad guy, which one he would be on? In my mind, he would be a bad guy. He'd be a guy that, yes, he was. I'll give him that he was wildly entertaining, that he was gifted, but I think he used his. I think he used his gift to go after the low hanging fruit, so to speak, and got very wealthy in the process. And so, I can't take anything away from him. He did more with his gifts than most people ever will. But I think, you know, Rush Limbaugh, to my mind, bad man.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
So next on the list here we have is apparently Andrew Cuomo is in a bit of trouble, and he's in a bit of trouble because even Democrats are turning on him, and it all has to do with, you know, him putting COVID positive people into nursing homes, and then lying about the numbers of deaths, and it's just a mess.
Yeah, he's been busy.
yeah. But I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't have any real strong thoughts about Cuomo. New York is, you know, he's their problem, but Do you have it? Do you know much about this, or do you care about it? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I've got a few thoughts on it. My understanding is that at the very beginning of the whole COVID thing, the question was, okay, if you have old people and they are sick, is it better to send them back to the nursing home where supposedly there's going to be the facilities to adequately deal with them, or do you leave them in the hospital? And I guess in this situation, the Cuomo administration chose to put those people back in the nursing homes. And as a result, I guess there was an explosion of deaths coming out of the nursing home. Who knew that, putting old sick people around other old people might make for more old and sick people? That just kind of blew my mind.
Especially when the disease targets old people.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, to his defense, at that time, I don't think they really knew that it was particularly ravenous against old people. But I mean, it kind of stands to reason most diseases are going to do a better job of preying on the aged and infirm. So I guess it probably was somewhat predictable or foreseeable that old people would get sick and die at higher rates as a result of putting them in mixing them with COVID old folks. I think Cuomo represents probably some of the worst aspects of American politics, this whole dynasty where his father was the governor, I think his father's governor. I think one of his other brothers is one of his brothers has a CNN talk show where he pretty much gets on and is Andrew Cuomo's little brother. Policy wise, I don't know much about his policies and if they differ from what I would choose. But the fact that they're just legacy and they're just there because Pops was a politician, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I might be thinking of someone else, but he might have even had another relative or something who was like a governor or something in New Jersey, maybe.
Whom? A Cuomo?
Yeah, but I might be thinking of someone else.
You think of Chris Christie?
No. This was a Democrat, but they got in trouble for taking a bunch of bribes and stuff like that. Yeah. But I may be thinking of someone else.
That could be a lot of folks in Jersey. I mean,
yeah, where is Jersey at?
Jersey's like, great people, but it's corrupt, very corrupt.
It's a horrible thing, and I don't know. Do you think he should be legally held responsible?
No, because I don't think he should be held responsible because it wasn't his intent to hurt those people, was it? It seemed to me that it was one of those, like a boneheaded, I guess it was some level of common sense probably should figure in there, but holding someone responsible would, to me, suggest that they intended and they knew that this would occur, or they should have reasonably foreseen, which it probably was reasonably foreseeable that old people mixed with old people with COVID would only make more old people with COVID and drive up the death rate. But it doesn't seem like there's any real criminal culpability. Maybe some
should intent come into play? I mean, in the legal system, should intent? I mean, if I kill someone with my car and I didn't mean to, should that be taken into account? Should I not be prosecuted? Should intent be taken into consideration?
You can take intent in consideration, but that doesn't outweigh the necessity for punishment of whatever ill was, So the person who gets in the car, drives drunk and runs somebody over, they didn't intend to do it, and in their heart of heart, had they not been inebriated, they would have turned left or right and not run the person over. But that still doesn't change the fact that you killed somebody, and under those circumstances, there is a prescription for punishment. But I get the sense that you were in the process of making that connection to something else.
No, not really. Yeah. I just was. No, I mean, you just you mentioned that you didn't think that he intended to, and I was just like, I don't know. How much does that intent have to do with something like that? I don't know.
Mm.
I was just throwing it out there, playing devil's advocate.
Fair enough. Yeah, I thought there was something else. Somewhere else you were going with it.
Nah.
And you got to keep your eye on Brian because, you know, he's a tricky devil.
Hey, now.
What?
So this next one I have a clip that I want to play for you, and I just want to see. Well, let's just play the clip and then we'll talk about it. This is
Biden.
This is Biden. Yeah. He's at a press conference, and he's asked about getting the COVID vaccine to the minority communities. I think that was the question, but this is what he said.
The other portion is a lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store.
What do you think? Did that bother you? I mean, I kind of heard that as him saying that a group of people they're not smart enough to use the internet.
That's probably. I mean, if you hate the guy, that's one way you could take it. Or you could just be like, hey, you know what? It's true. Like, you know, old people, you know, I mean, is your mom good with the internet? Can she like write an email and all that good fun stuff?
No, but he wasn't talking about old people. Oh, no, he was talking about Hispanics and black people in the inner city.
Did he say black people? I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
African-Americans. I'm sorry.
I must not have been listening close enough. I'm sorry. But I mean, that there are, you know, in any given population, you're going to have, you know, folks who just don't keep up with technology. I didn't say that. I didn't hear that as particularly racist. Maybe I did not hear it, you know, with the same ears as you did. I didn't take any particular issue with it. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, enough said.
Right.
So I've harped on this before. I don't know how many times on the podcast, but I know that you've probably heard it several times. And I firmly, truly believe that there is there's this movement, there's this effort to eventually get us to eat bugs and not, you know, plant-based foods, but also just they're serious about bugs. And
say, quick question, same vein, have you noticed how much, you know, non-meat there is in the grocery stores?
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good segue for something I wanted to touch on. The answer is yes, I have. And I was tricked. I was tricked by Dunkin' Donuts one time to eat a fake meat breakfast sandwich. And I say trick because usually when you go to a drive-thru of a restaurant, you know, they put like the most popular things that people want is like, you know, you know how you like order number one, number
two, the value meal. Like,
yeah, usually number one is like the most popular thing that people want.
Yeah.
So you can just roll up and say number. I was in the drive-thru. I was in the drive-thru at this. I was down in North Carolina with mom, and we was getting ready to head home. And I was like, here, I got to grab a. I want a breakfast sandwich. So I pulled through this Dunkin' Donuts, and And the woman's like, you know, can I help you? And I was just kind of like,
give me a number one.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking at the screen, and I just it looked like what I wanted, and I was just like, yeah, number one. And so I get it, come around, and I park, and I'm eating, and I'm like, this sausage is just really spicy. It's just like, this is just ridiculously spicy. And I was like, this doesn't even really taste like sausage. And then I looked, and it was like the impossible breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, see, yeah, what pisses me off is how, like, have you ever gotten, like, I've seen this a lot recently, where they'll have, like, the regular version, and then they'll have, like, the sugar-free version, and they'll be right next to each other. But the only real difference in the packaging is that there's a small thing in green on the sugar-free that indicates that it's sugar-free.
Yeah,
and if you're not totally diligent about it, you can just easily walk up, you know, not notice a small sliver of green indicating the healthy option, and accidentally grab the healthy option.
Yeah, I'm looking at my A&W zero sugar root beer can right now, and it looks really, I mean, it does say zero sugar right here, but the can overall just looks like an A&W can. And yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of with all this Beyond Meat and Meat Plus is, like, you know, I'll be like, you know, shopping for a hamburger and just, you know, just reach in and grab one, and yeah, get home, throw it on the thing, and then find out like, oh my God, what have I done?
Well, I don't know what this means. Well, before we get there, let me play this clip. This was, I think, produced by the UN. It's like a commercial, yeah. But it's got this cute little, not a girl, she's a 20-something, but cute little 20-something, and she's got like a plate with a steak on it, and then she's, you'll hear her doing things, and what she's doing is like comparing, you know, bags of insect food made from insect, I guess. Anyway, let's listen to this. It's better to see the visual, but we're not doing that here. So let's just check this out.
This is a 200-gram steak. On the same land it would take to produce this amount of meat, you could actually get 2 kilograms of edible insects. As for the amount of feed it would take to produce, you would have 2.5. The greenhouse gases emitted from producing 200 grams of steak is the same as if you were to produce 20 kilograms of edible insects.
You know what?
So I guess those are the commercials running in the EU, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to hear anyone talk about edible insects until after I see them take a heaping spoonful of it and put it in their mouth, chew and swallow without calling cut. And, you know, yeah, I want to see them eat it.
Yeah. No, I feel you, man. And I also wanted to, I was going to try to grab this clip of Bill Gates, because not only is Bill Gates a computer genius and an immunologist and a doctor and everything,
He's also a virologist, a veterinarian, a proctologist as well, and is he also a bug chef?
Well, he's all about green plant-based meats. I don't know what his take on insect. I'd imagine that it's the same, but he's big on eating I think he said that like all rich nations should eat plant-based foods only. And he was given a speech somewhere, and I was going to get a clip of it, but it was, the quality was so horrible that you probably wouldn't be able to make out what he was saying. So but it's just interesting that he's like this huge push on, I mean, if you on your own want to do a search for like Bill Gates and plant-based foods, there's a ton of stuff out there. But I found what's interesting is I think he is the largest owner, like he owns the most acreage of farmlands in the United States.
Well, I mean,
I don't know if I'm phrasing that right, but he owns the most farmland.
He's the largest land owner in America besides the government.
Yeah, for farmland, I guess. So yeah. So I don't know if there's any connection or what. I don't know why he did that. I mean, I guess maybe just owning land is a good investment.
Well, that, and if you think that, you know, if it seemed like the bet he's making is that the next 25 years we'll be eating, you know, significantly more plant-based food, and so I guess he feels that it only makes sense for him to be in a position to benefit from that as well.
Yeah, you're probably right. Actually, you're not probably right. I'd say you're 99% right.
And all rich countries should move to 100% plant-based beef to fight climate crisis 3 days ago.
Yeah. And I was hearing him talk somewhere, and he was like, you know, it tastes so much like beef now, but it's only going to start tasting more. It's going to taste more like beef in the future, and you know, they're making all these advances. I just, you know what, the one thing that has like been such a, I don't know if it's just a buzz term or what, but how long have you heard how important it is to eat organic food?
You know, that's a great point. This whole eating fake meat and tastes like real food, like real beef, kind of turns all that on its head, doesn't it?
It does. I'd like to see the ingredients in an impossible beef patty just to see what it is, because you know, I mean, not rich people but yuppity people pay a premium for like organic grass-fed steak and stuff like that, and you know, I was just curious what goes in to make a plant-based steak taste like a steak.
I'd be interested in looking at the ingredient list and see how many ingredients in the plant-based meat can a non-chemist speak to,
understand,
or say. I mean, and this kind of goes back to like, you know, my position on artificial sugar, that you know, non-real stuff, lots of non-real stuff going into your system over time can't be good. And so I would say the same thing about, you know, the same thing about fake meat. If you're putting a bunch of chemicals in it to make it taste like meat, you've already made a bunch of mistakes. It's probably just time to stop, you know?
Yeah, but I think, you know what, I think they're more concerned with saving the planet than us getting cancer in 30 years because we ingested all these chemicals.
Yeah, I'll be eating beef till I die, baby.
Amen.
That's something we can both agree on.
You know what? Hey.
That's on the button.
Yeah, there we go.
No, but like
I was slow on the jaw. You got me.
Yeah, it happens, even to the best of us. No, but have you tried any? Well, I guess you have. Have you purposely tried?
No.
Would you try that same impossible sandwich again?
No. If I was going to try something, I mean, I guess I'd try something that I haven't tried before. I mean, I'll say, of course, it's been 9 months roughly since I had that. So my memory is not as in the forefront of my mind as it was, but it didn't taste horrible. If I had to eat it, I mean, I guess I could eat it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, nothing tastes
No, the one thing that was that I do remember about it though is I was belching it literally the rest of the day. Whatever kind of spices or stuff that they put in there to make it taste the way that way really messed with my gastrointestinal tracts.
Yeah, they put all those spices in there because there was something they wanted to cover up.
Yeah. So would I be in? I don't know. I guess I could get an Impossible Whopper Burger King, but I've never felt like inclined to.
Yeah.
If I wanted to take something fake, maybe a steak just to see.
See, I think a steak would be the hardest because with the burgers and the friggin' sandwiches, you have other things to distract you from, you know, it not being meat. But a steak is like, I think a steak would be the hardest thing to eat.
That's what I'd want to test. That would be a test. I want to see just how much it can stand on its own. You know, how close are they really?
I mean, I wonder if they have impossible steaks out there. That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you said how Bill Gates was just talking about how you can, you know, it tastes close to the real thing and X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah, how does he know?
Yeah, so yeah, there's an impossible steak out there. I mean, you might have to have Bill Gates' money before you can eat it. But
well, if they're wanting us plebes to eat this stuff, they're going to have to bring the prices down then, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can rest assured they're working on that, and that's probably why there's, you know, I mean, I would.
That's why they want us to just eat bugs. Yeah. As much as cheaper.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there is an impossible steak, but I don't think we'll be eating bugs in our lifetimes, maybe our grandkids' lifetimes, but yeah, I don't.
They're going to push this on if they haven't already. Those poor African countries where they don't have food.
Don't you think
maybe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, let's say, like, if it's famine or eat bugs. Well, wait a second. Usually, the bugs are the ones that cause the famine. So, like, the locusts.
Oh no, we're getting into like this meta circle, man. Yeah. So
which ones do you eat first?
If you eat them before they cause the famine,
then you don't have any.
Then you wouldn't need to eat them.
Yeah, funny how that worked. No. Yeah, I'm glad that I'll be probably dead for 50 years by the time that's mainstream.
I'm with you. I'm afraid that it will be a mainstream one day. But yeah, I don't want to. I hope I'm not here.
Yeah, but could you? Yeah, I mean, in order for something like that to happen, we'd have to really change our entire mindset towards insects.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't see us making that transition while anyone who presently eats meat is alive.
Yeah. You know, I guess I guess 300-400 years ago, lobsters were considered
poor man food, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? Back then they didn't have butter, and if you've had lobster without butter, it's like eating a shoe. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, Joe, we messed up, and I'll take responsibility for this.
What, did you not hit record?
Oh no, we're recording. we went on air, and we never finalized a This Week in Skullduggery story.
Holy smoke! Well, I mean,
we even talked about it, but I it slipped my mind, and yours as well, I guess. But usually, usually that's my responsibility. So, do you have any thoughts?
Well, let's go with the one that I was too cowardly to bring on earlier. Let me find that. Okay. Let's see here. And you're right. We typically keep the skullduggery light, but this was kind of a serious story. First coronavirus vaccine to arrive in Gaza Strip following blockage by Israel. And let's see here. This was Washington Post one day ago. Let's see here. First coronavirus vaccines reached Gaza Strip on Wednesday when 2,000 doses of the Russian Sputnik serum crossed into a heavily guarded enclave of almost 2 million Palestinians. The shipment arrived after Palestinian officials accused Israel of blocking it for political reasons when an initial attempt at delivery was turned back on Monday at a military checkpoint. Israel maintains tight controls over goods and people entering Gaza, and some right-wing Israeli politicians and activists want to condition the delivery of vaccines on the release of hostages and human remains held by Hamas, the militant Palestinian group that governs the enclave. Okay. Continuing, we warn Israel against the consequences of spread of coronavirus in Gaza, said Ismail Radon, a former Hamas minister. The resistance will not be blackmailed, and we will not pay a price for letting the vaccine go into the Gaza Strip. And I guess, to me, skullduggery is, underhanded, just not being nice to folks. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get much more unnice than blocking medical supplies. you can murder people, you can rape people. That's probably one and two in terms of worst things you could do, but blocking medical supplies isn't too far from the top of that list, though, in my opinion.
If I want to just take this article on face value, yeah, that's pretty jacked up. Evil.
Evil.
Yeah. But, are we surprised? I mean, the Middle East, Israel and Palestine has been a cluster for I don't know how long. So.
But it's a cluster in ways that I think the average American doesn't really fully understand, because we're on the other side of Earth, and the U.S. is really firmly knee-deep in the pocket of Israel in a way that makes us not necessarily clear as to what's going on over there.
I can't argue with that. I'll be honest. I'm not 100% educated on what everything is happening over there.
And truth be told, I'm not either, but I got a glimpse, not even really a glimpse. Like I spent a little bit of time in Egypt when I was in college, basically, on a trip by myself. And while I was over there, there was an Israeli attack on a little community called Jenin or something like that. And I remember watching, and this is in Egypt, watching on TV as quite literally they had armored bulldozers bulldoze down an entire neighborhood with the people still in it. Okay, so it wasn't as if they said, okay, everybody in this 3-block radius, get out. We're bringing in the bulldozers. No, not these guys. These guys came with bulldozers first, and well, as they were bulldozing him, if you resisted, they had U.S. Helicopter gunships, shooting folks down if you resisted. And it wasn't until I saw videos of that, and then I saw later in the newscast people throwing rocks at tanks, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, I don't know about you, but I remember the very first time I saw Palestinians throwing rocks at tanks. I probably would have been like around 7 years old, and it never. I mean, it seemed funny to me, like, yeah, that's what an odd thing to do, but at that point in Egypt, it dawned on me how incredibly desperate you have to be throwing a rock at a tank.
Agreed.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, it's. And so when you see a fight that's so uneven, it kind of makes you think, okay, well, the people whom I typically consider are the good guys, they may not be the good guys, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, yeah. Yeah, not a funny skullduggery, and for that I beg the audience's forgiveness. But
it is skullduggery nonetheless.
Yes, there is everything skullduggerous about it.
Yeah. So, well, Joe, that brings us to the end.
Holy smoke.
Of episode 40.
Did we?
Your birthday episode.
Birthday episode. Holy smoke.
Yeah. You're 40, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and you're what, 41, 42?
Bastard. No, I think we got seven more episodes to go before we reach my birthday episode. And if we push that into July, then it'll be 8. Oh, that's funny. No, it's not. That's like you would say, that's funny, boo-hoo.
Yeah, funny, boo-hoo. You're funny in the way that leaves you fighting tears.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, please, if you're still listening, please check, if you're listening on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, share the link, share it with your friends. Anything else I want to say? I don't think so.
This is going to sound, this is kind of off topic. Did we talk about the impeachment?
Did we talk about that last?
Like, I thought
we talked about it last week, didn't we?
I thought, wasn't he acquitted on Saturday?
Well, I'll be damned. Yeah. He was. Well, folks, in case you missed it, the president was acquitted. Talk to you next week. we'll tell you about it next. We'll be back here in 7 days, and we'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, you're in a hard spot if you're found that news out from us. But yeah.
I mean, I guess real quick, I think I don't know. Like, it's what happens when we talk about things during the week, man. We get them kind of mixed up.
Right, did we talk about that? No, Joe. No, we did not talk about that. Oh, well.
Yeah. So my thoughts. We're at the end here. Let's we can discuss this next week. Unless you like feel really.
We're not going to talk about this next week.
You don't think we?
No, we're not going to talk. There's going to.
All right. I mean, well, my opinion is. Justice was served. They didn't prove a case. They didn't even hardly. I don't think they tried to make a case. I don't think he did anything. He was acquitted because there was no evidence to convict. And that's my thought on it. I know that other people have different opinions. But
let me ask you this: If they charged him with failure to adequately protect the Capitol, will that be something that you think would be convictable? That they could have gotten a conviction for?
I'm not even sure what that means. No, I don't think so.
All right.
What was he supposed to do?
I don't know. Call the army. Be like, hey. I mean, my understanding is that he he went from the speech and then from there went and watched it on television and then, like, you know, tell the army to stop the folks ransacking the
Well, as I understand it, the Capitol Police knew that there was going to be problems weeks ahead of time. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say, man. But Trump is gone. We don't have to worry about him anymore. And you know, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. But you know, we ought to be careful setting this precedent of impeaching ex-presidents. Because I don't think they put a timeline on it.
I actually agree with you on that, and that's one of the reasons I thought that he was. I thought it highly likely that he was going to skate. My understanding that impeachment is to deal with people who are currently in office, and who have the vestiges and the, you know, the vestiges of state power on their side to deal with that. The person who's no longer in office. Should be tried by, you know, your normal criminal tribunal, so to speak. On that, we can agree.
You know what?
What's that? That's something we can both agree on.
Woohoo! I got it.
Holy smoke!
Oh, that's funny. All right, Joe. It's been a pleasure as always, and yeah, let's we'll chat later. What do you say?
I like it.
Take care, my man.
You too. Bye-bye.
City, oh, way to go, Ohio.